Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, 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 amen. The beginning is not just for the young. Amen. I know that you are probably not expecting me, but I'm sitting in for Pastor Mixon, who is not feeling well this evening. So we're going to keep her in, put her in our prayers as well as keep her in our prayers. Amen. We are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every
Wednesday, every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Amen. We are an interactive Bible study. What is that? That means that you have an opportunity to call in and participate. Amen. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, you can be connected. Amen. We're going to move on into our subject for this evening. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to move into our subject. Our title this evening is What Gets Your Attention Gets You. Amen. And we're coming from the book of James 4, 1 through 7. Amen. I'm sorry, 1 through 10. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because it's a day that we've never seen before, but yet you have given it to us. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we submit ourselves, Heavenly Father, to you and all that you give us, that we give back to others. Father, we come praying, Heavenly Father, on behalf of this sick and afflicted, those names that we have in our hearts and those names that we speak out publicly. Pastor Paul Robinson, Pastor Dawn Mixon, Stuart, James, Brenda, Aletha, Yolonia, Corey, Trinita, Vonzetta. Amen. We're come praying for them, Heavenly Father. Lord, we take a stand against the workings of the devil. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask, Heavenly Father, that whatever their desires are, Heavenly Father, that you would minister to them, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just, whatever they're in need of, Heavenly Father, Lord, that they would call upon the name of Jesus, a name that's a miracle worker, Heavenly Father. He's able to turn things around by faith. Lord, Father, we ask that you work in them, through them, Heavenly Father. Lord, Father, and by the blood of Jesus, Heavenly Father, we claim protection over their lives and their families. We also pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, who those who are falling short on their finances, Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray for those who are having struggles in their home. Lord, Father, we pray for those, Heavenly Father, who are spiritually confused. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those, Heavenly Father, Lord, that call upon you, Heavenly Father, who are doubtful at this time. We come and stand against the workings of the devil, Heavenly Father, that we may hinder our thoughts and that we may turn everything that we have over to you. Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you do, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for just changing the settings of our families. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for working within our homes, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for increase in our finances. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for encouraging us spiritually through our soul as well as our body. Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for life today. Father, we come tearing down the strongholds, Heavenly Father, of Satan, and we smash all the plans that Satan has formed against the family. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for this time. And, Lord, Father, we ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that all those things that we've lifted up, Heavenly Father, that we have turned it on over to you, Heavenly Father, and we look forward to testimonies, Heavenly Father, to how you have worked on their behalf. We ask that you be with this word tonight, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we would all be on one accord, Heavenly Father, Lord. And not only that, Heavenly Father, that as we come with your word, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we would apply it to our hearts. Right now, Father, we seal it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Good evening. We are here this evening. We're coming from the book of James. Amen. And from the book of James, the title is What Gets Your Attention Gets You. Amen. What gets your attention gets you. Amen. And the Bible reads as such. From whence come wars and fighting among you? It is not hence from the pleasures that that war in your members. You desire to have, ye desire not to have, and ye kill and envy and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not. Because ye ask not, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may expend it on your pleasures. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enmity against God? Whosoever therefore desires to be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the scripture that dwelleth in us lusteth? It lusteth against envy, but he giveth greater grace. Therefore it said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist to the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into heaviness. Purify your hearts. Into your heaviness. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. I am coming from the English Standard Version, that is the ESV version, and there are a variety of different interpretations that your Bible may read, but that is coming from the English Standard Version. And as we move into this, this is the book of James, and it is James 4, 1 through 10. And the purpose here is James, who is a brother or a kinsman of the Lord, is called a general epistle or a general letter, because it is not written to a particular person or a church, but it is written to all the converted Israelites. Herein the apostle reproves, and even then there are the infected many ways that have perverted the doctrine of justification by faith. And any occasion, he likewise comforts the true believers under the sufferings and reminds them of the judgments that were approaching. He is reminding them of the judgments that were approaching. Amen. And as we look into the scripture, here's the theme here is talking about, it is the community. He's talking about a community of God's love and grace. And he's talking about there is a struggle. And the struggle is from moving from me to we. The struggle is moving from we, from me to we. And what he's in here, he's saying it keeps surfacing. It keeps surfacing. And by its surfacing, it is reminding us to repent of our self-centeredness. Amen? It's reminding us to repent because we have a problem of moving from me to we, and we'll get deeper into that as we go along. And we have to remind here, James is talking about, he's talking about the approach, you know, that we perceive in God's work. And in God's work, he's working in us, with us, and through the church. And the encouragement here is that we should draw near to God, and he invites us to explore it. To explore this, he's inviting the Israelites to explore it, spiritual disciplines, and he puts us in a position that is directed by the Holy Spirit. He is putting us in a direction that is directed by the Holy Spirit. So as we look at James, as we break this up, 1 through 3, it says, "From whence the wars of fighting among you? It is not hence from your pleasures that war your members." So in 1, it says, you're talking about the wars and the fighting that's among you. Why is it that we have wars and fighting that's going on in us? And this is a spiritual warfare that we are up against. It's a spiritual warfare that we are up against. That's a war that's going on in each and every one of the Israelites at this time. And he's saying here that it is because it is not hence from your pleasures that war in your members. It is not hence from your pleasures that war from your members. So when we look at the word, we're looking at there's a conflict. There's a conflict that's going on, and the conflict is because of the pleasures that the body or that the Israelites are desiring. And he wants to remind them that the pleasures are overtaking their actual desires spiritually. It is hence from your pleasures that war in your members. The members, when he's talking about the members, he's talking about the body, our body. The tongue is a member. It's a member. The most powerful member in our body is the tongue. What we say to others, what we say to God, what we ask for, how we ask for it. And depending on how we approach God determines how things are going to happen. How do we approach God? It is not hence from your pleasures that war in your members. It is not conflict from your pleasures that war in your members. It's a spiritual warfare. There is a spiritual warfare. There's one side that wants to get our attention to be in terms of worldly desires, and then there's another part that we are focusing on from a spiritual point of view. Because we live in this world, we desire worldly things. And here, he's reminding, and I say the Israelites, but I'm talking to the body of Christ. He's reminding the body of Christ that to watch out for your pleasures, because your pleasures can cause war with the rest of your body, with the members of your body, the members of Christ, your pleasures. And in two, it says, you desire, when I say ye, you desire and have not because you kill and envy and cannot obtain it. When we look at this and what it's saying here, that's pretty deep. When you start talking about killing and envy, a desire, something that you cannot have, he's saying that when we get to the point where we cannot have it, we want it bad enough, we cannot have it, that all of a sudden we become angry. And when we become angry, he associates, now some authors do this and don't, but he's saying that it's almost like murder. Murder. Anger. God talks about you and I having a peaceful spirit. A peaceful spirit. A peaceful spirit. And what he said is a conflict, and there's disputes among the believers. And it's because of the cravings, wanting things that others have. Wanting things that others have. And it says these cravings and desires are, it's what is expressed, what we're asking. And if we don't get it, then all of a sudden we become angry. Followers of Jesus end up angry. And again, that's a strong term that he uses. He uses anger and he associates it with murder. Teaching anger toward our brothers and our sisters is a serious matter. When we become angry with the body of Christ, when we become angry with each other, that is a serious matter. It's a serious matter. God said that we're supposed to love one another. So, if we're supposed to love one another, and we are angry because of the things that we have or because of someone, something that someone else has, and we become angry because we do not have it, does that become a personal agenda? Does it become a personal agenda? Is it that we're asking because it's personal, or are we asking spiritually, thy will be done? So here it is connected with, and it means that we have to be reminded that when we're asking for things, that we're not asking out of a selfish means. We're not asking out of a selfish means. We're not being selfish when we ask for what we ask for. And here, and he's talking about a community that's built on love and grace. James is talking about love and grace, that this is a community that's how it was built on. And through that community, the struggle is moving from me to we. Me to we. Me, my personal agenda, to we, being a part of the body of Christ. Being a part of the body of Christ. God is not a mean toward one's own selfish ends. Now, I don't want to move on too far into this, but you know, as I go on with three, it says, "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss." Amiss here, he's using, you're asking wrongly, that ye may expend it on your pleasures. You're asking wrongly because what you're asking for, or what we're asking for, when we're asking because it is for our personal agenda. It is for our personal pleasures. We have to evaluate how we ask. When we're asking, evaluate how we ask. How are we asking? Are we asking because we are being humble? Or are we asking because there's really a selfish gain here? Is there something here that's grabbing your attention? There's something that's grabbing my attention when we're asking for this. Is it personal? Or are we willing to ask God, knowing that when we ask, that we're asking and we're submitting ourselves. We're submitting ourselves. We're asking without a personal agenda. I'm going to stop right there and open up the mic and ask, are there any questions? Amen. Amen. As we move on, here, as we go on to 4 through 5, and I'm trying to work or break these words down as I'm looking at these, and it says, 4, ye, are you adulterers and adulteresses? Know you not that you are friendship of the world, but an enmity of God, an enmity against God. Adulterers, adulteresses, how you, it says, know that you are not friendship of the world, and if you are a friend of the world, you oppose or you are against God. If you are a friend of the world, here James is saying that you are against God. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And here James is speaking to the Israelites, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Adulteress, that's someone who lusts for something. Lusts for something. You want it badly, but you can't get it out of your mind. Your attention is focused only on that. Your attention is, you can't get it out of your mind. And that's all you think about, all you want. But know that you are not a friend of the world, but you are against God. And it says, whoever therefore desires to be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. If you desire worldly things, and that becomes a part of your attention to the point where all you can think about, all you want, is things of the world, James is saying here that that is against God. You're an enemy of God. You're an enemy of God because your pleasures are of the world and they're not spiritual. Thank you, Jesus. Whoever is a friend of the world is against God. And this is what James is saying here. A friend of the world is an enemy of God. And he goes on to say, do you think that the scripture saith in vain? Do you think that the scripture is saying this and it means nothing? When you say that you are if you are a friend of the world, then you are against God. And he's saying here, do you think that the scripture is saying this in vain? He's saying, do you think do you believe what the word is saying, what the scripture is saying? Do you believe it with your whole heart? And he goes on to say, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. What is it? Submit. When we submit, what are we doing? You're yielding to something that you believe is greater than you. Submitting. You are yielding to authority. You're conforming yourself to whatever it is that you believe is greater than you. You're accepting the word of God. Submitting. Submitting. So do you think that the scripture is in vain? Do you think that the scripture is just saying this just to be saying it? Or do we take it at heart? And he's talking to the Israelites when he's saying this. When you look at the scripture, do you think it's serious? Do you think that God has put these words here and they're just words? Or do they have meaning? Do they have meaning? Or is it one day it has meaning when it fits your pleasures and the other time when it doesn't fit your personal agenda, then it doesn't have as strong of a meaning? He's asking the Israelites. He's asking the Israelites. He wants them to remind them that the believers that you're under some sufferings. You're under sufferings if you're going through this. If you have not submitted totally to God, to Christ, to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, then you are suffering. You're suffering. If you don't think that the scriptures is real, that the word of God should be revered, he's saying that you're suffering. You're suffering because something else has your attention. There's something else that's pulling you away so that you don't totally submit yourself to Christ. What gets your attention? What is it that's pulling you from submitting yourself totally? He wants Israelites to understand this, that you're suffering. Don't be fooled. Don't be deceived. The mics are open. The mics are open. I'm really getting excited over here as I'm reading this, you know, and I'm probably getting more excited than you, so come on in and make comments and help me out as we move through the scripture for this remaining hour. Any comments? All mics open. Amen.
Elder John, your topic is what? I'm just getting on late. Your topic is?
What gets your attention gets you.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? My mind.
Does God get your attention or does the world get your attention?
Mm-hmm. And my mind goes to the scripture that says, set your affections on things above. And then we won't get snagged. You know, and if we continue to stay in prayer like the Bible says, we won't get caught up. And I'm not saying that sometimes we don't get distracted, but it is Him, who Holy Spirit, that if you ask Him, He'll pull you back. That's what I do. I say, Lord, my prayer was always this. Lord, don't let me go too far. Because sometimes we can go too far. Sometimes we can get distracted. Sometimes we can get in a place where we don't desire to be there, but when our attention is off of God, when our eyes are taken off, like you said, the world, and it looks on the world, then, you know, the devil's so insidious, he knows just what kind of appetite we have.
Mm-hmm.
And if our appetite is too much, I mean, if our appetite is more than what the Spirit is basically, I don't want to say dictate, but basically what Him, Holy Spirit, is revealing to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And we overlook it, and we say, and we like throw it back. Then that's when we get caught up. That's when we get caught up. Now we're taking our eyes off of the things of God, and we're now focusing on things of the world or what has gotten our attention.
Mm-hmm.
So and we see why that scripture, set your affections on things above. Our affections, what moves you? What moves you? And in these last days and in these times, what should be moving us is kingdom. Not even the world, the kingdom. I'm not saying that we don't live in the world, we don't do things in the world, but you know what? We just can't get caught up. That's all I have to say. We can't get caught up.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Any more comments?
Because it's due, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So
go ahead.
It's easy to do. If we don't stay focused, easy.
And we have to remember that, and you're so right, we have to remember that even though that we go through these things that James is talking about, we have to remember that there's grace. God understands us, there's grace. And God is constantly trying to draw our attention closer to Him.
Mm-hmm.
There's grace. That's the beautiful thing of it. God's grace, even in our situation, that we may not be right, that we we might fall into the category of what has been stated, but God gives us grace.
He does.
There's grace.
Chance to get it right.
And that's the beauty thing. We call that amazing grace.
Amazing
grace. God loves you. He loves me. And His love is so amazing that even though that we fall short, He's still drawing us closer to Him.
Mm-hmm.
He's still pulling us away from those things that draw our attention, that have a greater impact on our existence in this world, and He's reminding us of who He is.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to know that His reverence, that He is, that God is greater than anything that we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where God is trying to take us. It doesn't make a difference what situation you're in. God does not want, He's not trying to reprimand us because we are human. We were born in sin, and we're constantly trying, as you said, to get it right. Every day we're trying to get it right. Every minute we're trying to get it right. But the thing is, are we trying to get it right.
And I want to say one more thing to those that are listening. You know, God's never that far away. No matter, and my mind goes to the prodigal son. He's not that far away. I read in the scripture where it says that if you return unto him, he'll return unto you. Just that quick. Just that quick. He's right there with his open arms. You don't have to come like the world wants you to do flips. They want you to go through hoops. But God's additional love says that if you come to yourself, and come back, no matter where you are, no matter how far down you are, if you will return, and that's what the prodigal son did in that pig pen. He lifted up his eyes. He said, "I could go home. I could go home." And that's what God is doing. He's saying you can come home.
Amen.
With open arms.
Amen. Amen. And that's the beauty of it. God always has his arms open wide for you and I. God loves us just that much.
Yeah.
But no matter where we are, God still, his grace, that's what we talk about, the amazing grace, the amazing grace of God. That even in the pits of where we are and what we're going through, God still loves us.
Yeah.
Still loves us.
Mm-hmm.
Still desiring for us to submit ourselves to
and have that relationship with him.
Amen. God said, I'll
we
never
are
leave
his...
you.
Amen.
I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. I love you just that much. God said, I will always be with you. And when we think along those directions, we know that that who God is, that's when that's that faith that we have in God, when we've given our total selves to God, knowing that who he is, that he's going to make everything okay.
Amen.
He's going to work it out. No matter what you're going through, he's going to work it out.
Thank you, Lord.
As we move on into six, it says, but he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want you to be proud and not acknowledge that, but to the humble. To the humble. Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs 3:34, it talks about that. It referenced that, talking about the proud and the humble. God wants us in that humble state.
Yeah.
Not where we think we got it all together.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to be in that humble state, and that's when God can use us, when we're humble.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a community of spiritual health. A community of spiritual health. That's where we are. I'm talking about the community, the body of Christ, but the spiritual health. That's where we are. And here James, this is what he's talking about. The source of your health. Where are you? Where are you in this picture? Where's your attention? Is it on me or is it on the world? Where's your attention? Are you proud? Are you humble? Or do you humble yourself when you come to me? When you come to me, what are your desires? Are the desires for your pleasure? Or is it your desires to want God to be able to intercede with you? This is where God wants us, in that humble state. And this is what James is speaking of. That's just what he's talking about, the humble grace. It's amazing. It's amazing what God does when we're in our struggle, But we're going through our struggles. Each and every one of us, we're going through a spiritual struggle. But where is your attention? What do you focus on more? Do you focus on God? Do you wake up and the first thing is on your mind is God? Or do you wake up, I'm not talking about you, I'm speaking in general. Do you wake up and automatically you just, well, okay, I'm getting up today. This is another good day. But do you thank God? Do you thank God for opening your eyes? Do you thank God for watching over you while you were sleeping? And he protected you all through the night. And you woke up with a clear mind, thanking God. No matter what you're going through, but thanking. Listen, sometimes we can have situations that are unfavorable to us, but do we still thank God? Thank God, because God is handling it. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? That humble state. Humble. Being respectful of God's amazing grace. Not being proud. Not being proud. We can, God does not, he does not honor a proud attitude. But when we are in a humble state, that's where God wants us. That's when he can work with us. That's when we can see God's amazing grace, when we humble ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When we understand that everything depends on God. Everything that we do, it depends on God, not the world, but it depends on God. What gets your attention? When you get in that car, do you automatically believe that car is going to get you to and fro safely? There are things going on as you're traveling from one point to another that we can't even see. Thanking God for the car. Thanking God for traveling grace. Thanking God for being able to reach our destination and return home. But thanking God in season as well as out of season. Being humble, not proud, and take things for granted. Some call that humility. When you acknowledge God, that's humility, being humble, humility. Everything that we have comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
That's reverence.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
You know, Pastor Dawn gave us a while ago when she did her message to us. One of the things that she said that the desires of our heart. If we pray God's desires, his desires will be our desires. You know, we should be praying what God wants us to do. And, you know, it says in the word, God will give you the desires of your heart. What is your desire? Is your desire to please God? So let his desires, your desires, because he knows better, Father always knows best. He knows better than we do. So whatever desires that he gives, that we even think of, that he gives us and we want to give him right away, then it's going to be for our good and for his glory.
Amen.
Then we're one in mind, one in spirit like that.
Amen. Whatever
we want to do, it's God placing it in our spirit to do.
Amen.
And now those desires I think that you have, it's really his desire for you, because he knows best for us.
Amen.
You know, it is.
And
it
James, he's talking about that. How we receive Christ, how we receive God. Do we receive in a proud manner? You know what? I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. This is working, or it's okay for me.
Mm-mm-mm.
Or do we seek him with humility?
Yes.
do we seek him with humility? Are we humble when we come before God? God is a King of kings and Lord of lords. But yet, when we go before those who have been established as a king, a queen, they want you to respond a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Go over to England and you go up there and act like you want to act. And walk
you're
before
right
them the way
that
you want to win. It will not work.
Mm-hmm.
You have to respond a certain way. And that's almost an illustration of when we go before God, we have to have that same attitude. Reverence,
yeah.
Respect.
That's right.
Meek, being meek before God.
Mm-hmm.
Unassertive. That's where God wants us. That's when he works with us best.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah.
It's 7. It's
you know.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, 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 it's good. This is good. You know, God is our friend. He's our Father.
Amen.
We just can't come to him any old kind of way, like the like the Joe on the street. Just like Brother John said, we have to give him reverence, the respect that's due him, the honor that's due him. We can't just go, and I've heard just talk to God or talk about how they talk to God any kind of way. What is that? I'm afraid. As a matter of fact, let me move away from you because it's the grace of God. You don't get struck down. But some people just go to God like, you know, hey, he's the Joe.
Yeah.
Or they'll say the
but
man
you know,
upstairs. I never say that, the man upstairs, like he's just the man upstairs.
Yes.
He's more than that.
Exactly. He's just a man upstairs. You know,
just
but
the
he's
man
greater
upstairs.
Than that. God
exactly.
is greater than that.
Yes, he
God
is.
God is greater than that. And when we can see him in his greatness, you know, when we can see him in his awesome, because he's awesome, because he's all-powerful, when we can see him in that state, that's what we reverence. We know that we're giving God the glory of who he is and what he's capable of doing. But because of his grace, because of his love for you and his love for me, that God sees us where we are and still has open arms out for you and for me, even when we fall short.
Yep. Thank you,
that's
Jesus.
That's love. That's grace. Amazing grace. If we had a TV screen showing all the things that God has been doing for us throughout that day.
My God.
It would be amazing. We just can't see everything that's going on around us.
My
but God does not want us to get caught up in the love of the world. That's when it becomes a problem, when you begin to love the world more than you love God. And that's what he's telling the Israelites here. He's reminding them. He says here, God resisted the proud. He resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. That's a powerful piece right there. He resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And then he goes on to say, 7, submit yourselves. Submit yourselves. What does it mean to submit? Give your all in all. Purify your hearts. You double-minded. What is double-minded? Double-minded means that you're trying to live the world and you're trying to live for God.
Wow. Yep.
You're undecided where you are, who you want to serve. You're undecided. That's double-minded. Unstable. God wants us in a stable position. I know that God is for me, that God loves me, that God's going to get me through whatever I'm going through. Paul talks earlier, he talks about, do you think that these scriptures are said in vain? Do you think that these scriptures, the words, are just there with no meaning? What gets your attention? Does the world get your attention? And whatever gets your attention gets you.
Wow, that is so powerful.
Whatever gets your attention gets you.
That's a powerful statement. Whoa, my God.
Can I say something?
Amen.
Yes,
say something.
I said this afternoon in prayer, when you reach a point in your life when you know that God doesn't need no help, He is God by Himself. There is no argument.
Amen.
Because He's God.
Amen.
And when you
Amen.
Realize that as your personal relationship and you're studying the Word of God, He will reveal Himself to you. When you reach that level,
yes.
Everybody's not at that level. The prodigal son wanted to do what he wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the Father
yes.
was there to do the same
yeah.
thing for God. He's there to receive
Amen.
Us. You know, we're going to make mistakes.
Amen.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
He's always there.
That's right.
But you got to
right.
know that God
mistakes.
Is there. There's no
Amen.
Argument. There's nothing that, no excuse. There's nothing. When you reach the point to know that He's there and He means that much to you, I found myself
yes.
in my life where I surround myself with prayer.
Mm.
I wake up and I'm reading the Word. I'm listening
mm-hmm.
on a call line in prayer. When I go to sleep, I'm listening to the Word again because I feel that is vitally important to me.
Mm.
Everybody's
yeah.
not at that level,
yeah.
but that's where I'm at. And then Sunday when I'm at
yeah.
church, I'm in my
yes.
glory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Because I get the fellowship
yes.
with Him. Somebody that we met this morning.
Mm. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Be thankful. Be thankful.
Amen.
Be thankful.
Yeah.
And that's what James
mm-hmm.
is talking about. You know, James is
mm-hmm.
talking
yes.
about just what you just said. It's James said it's in 8. It says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Nigh means
mm-hmm.
close.
Yes.
Okay,
close, yeah.
draw nigh to God, and He will draw close to you. And then he goes on to say, James goes on to say, cleanse your hands. Cleanse your hands.
Mm.
Get rid of that sin and purify your hearts. Don't
yeah.
be double-minded.
Right.
Don't be afflicted. And if you are afflicted, mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy
mm.
into heaviness.
Oh, I like
and
that.
And in verse 10,
yeah.
and he goes in and tells us, he tells Israel, here's what you do. Here's what you do. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Hallelujah. That is the conclusion of what James is saying. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. He's talking about humility, folks. Being humble. Humility. That's what makes it possible to experience God's grace.
Uh-huh.
And God's grace already surrounds us. It already surrounds us.
Yeah.
Acknowledge your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledge it. Amen. Express it. Submit yourself.
Yeah.
And once you submit yourself to God, God will lift you up.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Whatever you're going through, He will lift you up. Don't think that the words or the epistle that's being written here is written in vain. That is the key. That is the key. Believe in what you read. It's not
uh-huh.
written in vain.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what James is saying.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get lost. Don't be deceived. Don't think, well, you know what? You know, this is not for me.
Right.
It doesn't appear to me. God is not working on my behalf. I'm doing it on my own. Don't be proud. Because when you're proud, God is saying that when you ask with a personal agenda.
Mm.
Asking with a personal agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You're not coming with humility. But you're coming proud with a personal agenda, a worldly agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So I remember, guys, I remember the word says he'll open up the windows of heaven.
Yes.
But
yes.
We have.
Amen.
There's an action. There's a place that we have to be in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
There's an attitude that we have to have in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Humility. I don't care what the world says. Still, humility. I don't care what somebody says to you. Still, humility.
That's it.
Humility. Be humble. And it says, James says, if you are, if there's humility when you go before God, God will lift you out of that. He will lift you up, lift you out of it. Whatever you're going through, he'll lift you up. But we have to come correct.
Mm-hmm.
We have to come with a certain attitude. We have to come with a certain faith. We have to come with a certain respect. Any comments before we close? Any comments? We have 90 seconds left. Any comments?
I'm up. This is good.
Hallelujah. We thank you so much for tuning in. Please, if you could go to the archive, or you know, there's a possibility I will be sending you out, or my, or Dr. Suzanne will be sending you out scripture so that you can pass this on. You know, exponentially, we go into another state, we go into another level this year.
Okay.
You know, so that when you give something, that you can pass it on to others and bless someone else's life. If they reject it, you know what? Just wipe the dust off and keep on moving. We have to proclaim the gospel in this day and this time. So we're going to another level, and we pray that you will go with us. We're going to another level. We pray that you will go with us, that you're going up with us. And that's where we're going. We're spreading it, the gospel, to a greater area.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much
for
tuning. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Go to archives. If you go to archives, the archives is going to Blog Talk Radio. Then type in "We Can Begin Again." Again, we will all these numbers that we have to send you scripture so that you can answer. God bless you.
I can begin.